into the church and sprint. They do good and achieve some things or whatever, but they burn out. But he wants us to walk and not be weary. That word walk carries a lot of different connotations there. But I tell you, it's a way of life, and plus it's a time period. It's a period of time, also over a period of time. And that's what we're talking about, living over a period of time. And as you live over a period of time, experience shows you a lot of things. So as we finish, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And that reading verse was Isaiah, the second chapter, the fifth verse. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And that's a lot of people that's saying that. That's a lot of different nations that's saying that, because we know Abraham was the father of many nations. So it wasn't in isolationism. It wasn't just to Judah, even though it was to a lot of the scattered of Israel and Judah, to the lost tribes of Israel. But we find out that it was to those of faith, those had seen God's word working. And we know if we read the Old Testament, we'll see what many nations had said, that they wanted to serve God, because what a God that has such laws, such prosperity in his laws and precepts and happiness in his way of life. Yes. If we would walk in God's light, and Jesus has been given unto us as a light, and his word is light, so we would find happiness. We would find each day, I don't know how many have come to this place in assembly, and I hope it's, I'll have to give account for it, but I hope it's not many that hadn't found the Lord. When you come, if you're searching and seeking God, you find God. And if you don't find him or hear from him in the morning or in the afternoon or whenever you come, you might go home and check yourself, examine yourself. Because God doesn't disappoint. That's why even the false prophets and the mega churches are full, because the Lord doesn't disappoint, doesn't cast off hope. So if you woke up this morning or went through the week praying and seeking God, God will give you an answer this morning. He'll give you a way to walk in light. But now, if you sit there depending upon wish and a lot of magician-like stuff, you may sit in the church for years and years, and God may just purge you out of the church, because a walk means action. It means us doing something, not just depending upon God. Because when he generates us, when he gives us life or whatever, he instills his spirit into us, which causes us to walk. I said something this morning to one of my nieces it was just a personal thing. One of my nieces that was in the nursing home, she passed this morning. And I was telling her, if I see someone on the other side, I think she would be one on the other side. But see, that was an outward thing I said that about, you know, because she was one that she didn't have quite of the understanding a lot of us of what us, but she was a gentle person. She was a person that God is going to call his people into him. And his people are those of faith, and those that he had opened up the understanding of, prepared them for the kingdom of God. And I believe that if we see that the people that are going up to the house of God, it's a time of worldwide peace. We're reading, and I just did the first few verses of chapter 2. I told you it was the word of the Lord that came that the son Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among nations. Listen at that, as a mediator. He will judge between nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. I stopped there because starting at that sixth verse, he's going to tell you some judgments that's going to take place. Because like I said, sometimes in Hebrewism and in writing or whatever, he say a few things, or they say things and then come back with an explanation. So this message and the last week's message hopefully be ones of joy. Hopefully we'll be ones that feel good, because next week it might suck a little of the air out of you. See, because that's what Christianity is about, you know. The carrot and stick approach a lot of times. Sometimes you have to get in, but then you have to use the word of God to beat them in line sometimes. God beats us in line a lot of times. And we see a time of worldwide peace. Here's my first point. That's a time the gospel is preached to all nations and to all people. That's fulfilling the Great Commission. That his word is going to be exalted above all words. Now, like I said, it's going to be a time of purging the church now. But it's going to be a time of receiving all people, all nations, a worldwide peace, the establishment of the gospel. That's why the mountain is going to be exalted. Hebrews 12 and 22 says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." In other words, a countless thousands of angels and a joyful gathering. That same statement is made in the book of Micah. In the book of Micah, the first chapter, first through the fourth verse, he goes and adds a couple of verses to that. But this will be the times of the Gentiles coming to an end. It'll be the times of the Gentiles ending. This is in the last days. Remember, we talked about the last days. And we heard Putin this week saying that the United States could usher in, if they pull right in and withdraw from the nuclear arms treaty or whatever, that could have ramifications of worldwide dissipations. In other words, Russia would have to defend themselves and what they're doing or whatever, and China would, and all the rest of the nations that have nuclear weapons. And he said, we could be looking at the end. We could be looking at the end of civilization as we know it. A lot of people paid attention to that, especially with the United States tuck-tailing and running from Syria, out of Syria, which caused General Mattis to resign. But all that's from man's perspective, from man's view. That's why we don't get entangled in the world's affairs. That's the way he sees it, and that's the way they see it. But this, according to the Bible, it's not going to end that way. It's not going to end that way. That war doesn't happen. Because God's in charge. He's sovereign. And so Putin or no one else can tell us how the world will end but Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Now, what he says is the mountain of the Lord's house, and he's going to thread out the heathen, he's going to thread out the wicked and the wrongdoers, but heaven and earth shall pass away. In other words, this world. Now, people like that, and people with that thinking, people in the church with that thinking, that ideology and that unbelief and that lack of faith, they will be cast away. They will be purged out of the church and they'll be purged out of the earth. But not God's people. We have more to be looking forward to. Doesn't the news each day make you feel closer to God? What's happening in the world makes you feel closer to God? What's happening, the trials and tribulations, the things in your life, makes you feel happy and you want to go to church. You can't wait. If you get a nickel, if you get a dollar, a couple of dollars, you want to hurry up and give God his portion. You want to give God time. We want to increase the time of service and things in the church. Because we see God working in our lives, right? And there's no God as good as the God that we have. That's what I was telling my niece. That was I say it's no use to be sad there, because she went home telling her niece, she said it'd probably be after Christmas before they finish making the arrangement or whatever. But see, it's no more problems and troubles and things for her, because I remember how a lot of them, she used to do most of the work around that house. They'll miss her. She used to be the strong in the chain there. It was time for her to rest or whatever. But God does everything for good that those that love the Lord. So what's going on in the legislature? They're fighting and bickering and backing and forth. Things happen. You remember Job said it hurt him to lose his children, but he know God was doing it for the better. If he takes away your children and your wine, whatever he does, he's doing all things what? Work together for good for those that love the Lord. See, when you start coming in the understanding of God, if he's chastising you, if he's punishing you, it's for your good. That's why you should glory in trials and tribulations. Each day you get up with that optimistic, you're looking, you're not a pessimist. You're looking and say, what a day the Lord has made. This is the day he has made, and I'm going to glory in it. And this would be the coming, as the Russian minister or whoever, whatever position he is there, this would be the end of the Gentile reigns. We see that coming in this nation. You elect somebody like this, yeah, it should bring the end to this nation, which it is, the end of the GOP, and it's going to be a wrangling and a fight, and we've all been talking about we're going to see this nation come loose from the inside. I was talking with my dentist the other day. I went in to get a tooth fixed, and he said, you know, America is not in the Bible. See, that's what I was trying. I read, you know, they be reading my little books or looking at my books when I go in there, because I always carry a book around with me reading. I don't sit around watching television or whatever when I'm in the waiting room. Try to carry a Bible book, some kind of book to study and read. I say, yeah, it is. I say, if you look at the little horn, see, that little horn is America. If you would look, that's the Babylon God's asking us to come out of. It's kind of like Swaggart. He thought it was going to be on television or something, and we watching it, and America was going to be exempted from it. But did he realize that we were Babylon, that God had asked us to come out of, to come out of Babylon? And we're the leaders. This Christianity, that's why I say, you'll see a lot in the churches that are condemned right in the churches. That's what God was aiming to do, condemn sin in the flesh. The hypocrites and things in the church, the people that don't see God or fear God, God is there. It's just that your iniquities have separated you away from God. When people are cheering and saying how good God is, it you barely can understand, you barely make it, and you're scared, and you don't know if you can make it from day to day. That's because God has turned his face away from you. You need to examine yourself to get God back in your life to see that the sun is shining, and that's why all the people are flowing to the churches and flowing to the house of God to see God, but they don't want to make that sacrifice. They don't want to give up self. They want to take self in it. Self has to die. Self has to be crucified. You can't bring all those Trojan horses into the church. A lot of people, we're not getting as many hits right now because, you know what I'm saying? You got to leave that old pagan horse Christmas out of here. Don't bring it into church. You can eat greens and peas or something, black-eyed peas for Christmas. I told her, I said, no, I'm going to pay my tithes and offerings. That'll bring you money in the new year. If you go to church and forsake not the assembling together yourself, that's going to bring you blessings in the new year. The instructions and the doctrine. Your parents lied to you. Whoever told you about that tradition, most of the people that's doing that, they broke it. And that's the reason they're running around there eating cabbage and black-eyed peas in there. Yeah. Superstitious. So it's an end to the Gentile thinking, the Gentile way of life. It's an end to all that foolishness. John says in the last days, 1 John 2nd chapter and 18 verses, children, it is the last hour, it's at the end of this age. And just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, the one who will oppose Christ and attempt to replace Christ. You remember I told you anti also means to replace, not just oppose, but it's like a Christian. In other words, that's where the name Christianity comes from. Antioch, they say there was Christ-like. But see that little lamb, you never seen somebody come in or sneak in the church or whatever, as Jesus said he had chosen one and he was a devil. They come in, but they hadn't been changed. They looking for that opportunity. They are a wolf in sheep's clothing. So Christianity, the Antichrist, is those that pose as Christ. That's why I say this nation is chief for it, because we have the most hypocrites than any other nation in the world. The people that say they are Christians in this nation, they are more or less against God. because they're for self. They hadn't crucified self. So if you look at a lot of the missionary nations in China and where else, those were the Christians are coming in and droves are being slaughtered or whatever. Because they know that they would give their life for liberty that is in Christ Jesus than to live in the bondage of this world. This world genders to bondage. That's why it tells us to come out of Babylon. These people are happy going up to the house of the Lord. It says, even now many antichrists, false teachers, have appeared, which confirms our belief that it is the last hour. They went out from us, seeming at first to be Christians or church people, but they were not really of us because they were not truly born again and spiritually transformed. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out teaching false doctrine so that it would clearly show that none of them are of us. That's why I was asking the other week, who was these people that came by? A lot of times people in your churches and lead the church, well, why did you leave the church? Did you leave the church with God's blessings, or did you leave because you believe something else and you wanted to do something else? Now you're trying to creep back in. You know, that's what Jude said. Beware, these are men of old ordained unto this condemnation, crept in unawares. Don't come in here. Now, it's going to be a lot of people that come into the church, come back into this church, former members and everything. But I would warn you now, as I would warn you then, watch them. Why did they leave? Because they were devils in the first place. Now they're looking for another hole to run in. But a lot of them are returning to be judged. You know, if you flee a jurisdiction, they have to bring you back from that jurisdiction where you were judged at to carry out that sentence. If they want church members or whatever, nobody else has the right to punish them but this church or whatever. That's where they told the first lie. That's where it begins at. And that's where the word should fall on them. Beware. That's why it says beware. Paul says beware of false brethren among you. Why? That's why you should be walking circumspectly. Just cross up at the end of the church. You better watch yourself. That's why we preach the doctrine of Jesus Christ, because it's to purify the church. It's to keep the church cleansed as he cleansed the temple of money changers. It's to keep the church cleansed so they won't consume the believing people within the church. Your feet has to be shod. That's part of the armor of God. Shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace. In other words, boldly declaring the word of God everywhere and what you do. That's your lifestyle. That's your living. Lying people, being a light or a beacon, letting them know what you stand for. Let them know that there's a Christian here and we will stand that ground. And that word that we're speaking, that's what's going to condemn you, the word that's coming out of our mouth. We will proclaim the gospel. And you fight against that gospel, you won't make it. That's the rod he's going to use to judge the people. That's to say, that's why Cain rose up and killed Abel, because Abel's works was righteous. You go to talking about the things of the world and the people of the world, they'll leave you or be ready to kill you. They tell Jesus that we'll kill you for that. That's why they hung him up on the tree. That's why they kill him. Because they say this is a hard saying. You say, who can believe it? Acts 26 and 26. Paul boldly proclaimed the gospel. Peter boldly proclaimed the gospel. The angel, when he loosed Peter out of the prison, he says, go forth, says, I'm combining two things here. Let me untwist them here. For the king knoweth all these things, before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. That was Paul before Herod Agrippa. Because Christianity is going to make a show. This thing is not done in a corner. You know how some Jehovah's Witnesses or some people try to get you off and talk about it and witness? Well, no, we can talk about this openly. Jesus said he stood before him openly. He didn't say anything in secret. If you openly declare who you are and what you are, we're not trying to hide the gospel. If it's hid, it's hid because you lost. So Paul said, King, know about this. You know what's going on in the world. Know about the gospel. But they don't want to hear the gospel because once you hear it, it holds you accountable for what you've heard. You can be accountable. That's why some preachers don't preach certain things, because the deacons don't want to hear it. The people that's running the church don't want to hear it. They put the rollers on them. He started preaching on some of these things. You go to preaching on they cash cows. Go to preaching on some of their days and things that they like, or the things in the world people like. They'll put the rollers under you, or they'll stop coming. But multitudes go flocking to the house of God because he had told us to go ye into all nations and preach the gospel. The angel, when he loosed Paul and them, this is what I was trying to talk about at that time, when they loosed Paul out of the prison, Peter out of the prison, in Acts the 5th chapter in the 20th verse, he says, go and proclaim this gospel. Go stand and continue to tell it, the people in the temple, in the courtyards, the whole message of this life, the eternal life revealed by Christ Jesus and found through faith in him. You, as a witness, you go tell your wife, tell your husband, tell your children, tell the people in your job. Everywhere you go, you proclaim what's in Jesus Christ and the faith in Jesus Christ. Those that don't want to hear it, I was at the Washington the other day, and I started talking about that, me and a guy that meets that, you know, sometime he come in while I'm there or whatever, and I started talking about it and telling him about the things of Christmas. He said, I didn't know that or whatever. I had another guy in there, boy, he was mad, but he seen I was standing on solid ground there, and he started walking around, and he walked out the door, and he kept walking around or whatever. And the guy said, man, you know, you sure can tell one when you start talking about the gospel, when you start talking about the word of God. But see, he didn't have a leg to stand on. And the guy said, people just be pacing. I said, yeah, pacing like a bear in a cage. You ever seen a bear in a cage? He's always just going back and forth or whatever, but they ain't getting nowhere. The world is not getting anywhere. They're doing a lot of moving around, but they're not getting anywhere. But we walk and we headed somewhere. We got a focus and we know where we're going. We have a goal in mind. And we will reach that objective in Christ Jesus. The world is going around in circles. If you look at Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and this is throughout Isaiah, it says, the 66th chapter, the 20th through the 24th verse says, they will bring the remnant of your people back from every nation. Remember I said God had scattered. God scatters the people. But while they're preaching and while you're going everywhere you're going and they hear that word or whatever, somebody to hear that that's the truth. And he said, that's why he said, I'll be lifted up. I'll draw all men unto me. Somebody's going to be here, heard the word, and his word's not going to go out void. It's going to accomplish the purpose he sent it to. They will bring them to my holy mountain. In other words, back to the church. They'll flee, they'll seek and search for Jerusalem, not the geographical Jerusalem over there. He's talking about the assembly of God. He's talking about the church where his word is going out throughout the whole earth. That would be kind of idiotic to think everybody in the earth could fit in Jerusalem to hear the word of God. And it wouldn't make sound sense. But Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, it's the word of God coming down from everywhere. God has his people proclaiming this word because the whole earth could be full of the knowledge of God. He said they could bring them to Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord. Remember, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's an offering that we do to God. Our bodies, our life. That's the sacrifice, that's the offering God accepts. A body he's designed. And our body is no longer ours, it's the Lord's body. They will ride on horses and chariots, wagons and mules and camels. Can I say it? Mercedes, airplanes, Cadillacs, trucks, cars, buses, bikes, however. But they will be coming into the house of God. They will be coming from everywhere to the house of God. Any mode of transportation, all modes, says the Lord. And I will appoint some of them to be my priests and Levites. In other words, there will be a lot of pastors and ministers and teachers of the word of God because these are God's true people. He's preparing a people for kingdom sakes. Are you ready? Do you have the ability to teach others? So that's what you're in the church for. is preparing to be a royal priesthood. So that means if the church is preparing for a royal priesthood, we must have people that we will teach and shepherd. So he's going to give us the heathen as an inheritance. That's why I say all people won't be lost. But see, that's a hard thing to preach. You remember Paul says he didn't preach the hard things, or he wasn't able to eat meat. You know, some people go to church year in and year out, and they shouldn't tell other people things because they don't know themselves. And you'll get somebody else confused. And until you understand and know, you can't cause anybody else to understand. No, because people will see that you don't understand and that you don't know. Anybody following this political scene realize if a guy, all his people that are following him, leave and say, hey, man, that guy don't know what he's talking about. He's a moron. See, it don't take long for people to see that you don't know what you're doing and what you're talking about. No matter what you are, if a preacher don't know what he's doing or saying, people will notice after a while. That's what you get for running your mouth. People think you got good sense until you start talking. That's what gives you away, your words and your action. What kind of life you live? What are you? Let me look at your walk. I can tell whether you're Christian by your works. I can tell. I can tell that you have faith by the works that you perform, by the life that you live in. You know, a lot of people say you're the only light that a lot of people will see. How are you living? I, the Lord, have spoken. As surely my new heavens and earth will remain, so you all be my people with a name that will never disappear. So that he's establishing a church and it won't pass away. We told you it was like the image in Daniel, where the mountain that was there, the 10 toes that a rock, this stone that it smote. In other words, it grew up from amongst the people. It was the word of God. It was the spirit of God in God's people, emboldening them. How many of us are more bold now than we was a couple of years ago? How many of us now can tell somebody close to us, you can walk if you want to? You know, Peter and the rest of the people that was with Jesus, and they say, this is a hard saying, can you follow? And they turn and didn't walk away no more. But Jesus didn't back off that message. He said, y'all going too? You don't ask his apostles, where they going too? We got to see who want to walk, because at the end, you don't get on this road, because it's going to tell. That's why I say, some people, and I was talking about my niece, some of us won't make it. We're going to have to do like the ones in the wilderness, and we'll bury a lot of them on the way. It's not that they're not children of God, it's just that they don't have the tenacity to make it. They're fearful, they're scared, and you know, if you're fearful and scared, just admit you're scared. That you're fearful because the coward, he's looking for people that overcome us and can fight the fight and make the hard decisions. Some of us can't do that. But as David said, he divided the spoil with those that were behind. You know, you have to realize your shortcoming. Well, you got a problem. He says, all humanity will come to worship me from the week to week and from month to month. As they go out, they will see the dead bodies. Now, listen to that. They will come from week to week, from month to month. Now, they're not going to be missing. If we'll read or study another time. Those that didn't come up to the house of the Lord. All those out there. You remember I say you can have the poor with you all the time? Because it's people that don't go to church. They believe in God. They believe Jesus died for them and everything. But they don't have the strength or the understanding to go to the church. That's why he says you can have the poor with you always, because those people are going to be in poverty. They go always, you will have to give them something. Are you your brother's keeper? Yeah, because you always going to have to give to some of those that they ain't quite there. They're not evil or wicked people, but they just don't have the sense to go serve God, I guess. You have to be merciful to them. They don't have an understanding. They holler, Jesus died for them, but you don't understand his word says, forsake not the assembling together of myself, and that you should be coming into the house of God. You should be one and one saying, let us go up to the house of God. But you're always at home. You're always doing something else. We don't hate anyone. We're loving. That's what God's people should be. He says, those who have rebelled against me, for the worm that devoured them will never die, and the fire that burns them will never go out, and all will pass by with horror. See, because we're looking at the one that was in the church, the one that was lying, the ones that was hypocrites and rebellious, who knew what God says, but stood up against that. You know, because like I said, with my little niece, she was just as humble or whatever. Her understanding would come and go or whatever. But she wasn't an evil person, but she didn't, I don't think she belonged to any church that I know of. But she didn't have the understanding. And some, that's why we have to look to God to get understanding. We see that? Some people just not there, and some people won't get there. Repentance should be preached in Jesus' name. Now don't be in the church camouflaging like you some Christian or something. And you the biggest devil it is, you won't give up what you got. Jesus looked at a fig tree in the book of Mark and book of Luke. You remember the fig tree that he cursed? Yeah. He passed by the fig tree and it had leaves on it. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry and seeing from afar all trees having leaves. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not for the season of figs. And Jesus' response said to it, let no one eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard it. Because you was in church and people were asking you to pray for them. That you was in church and you wasn't doing what you're supposed to be doing. It would have been better if you wasn't in church saying you believed in Jesus or whatever. You believed in God, but you couldn't follow God. Because he cursed this tree. You know, that was the only thing we see where he cursed and the tree died. He said, no man eat from you. Because we're supposed to be bringing forth fruit. Yes. Now, that's not just external fruit. In other words, witnessing the people, trying to win souls to the Lord. Because he that winneth souls is wise. So a lot of us don't have that wisdom from God to preach or teach someone else or get someone else to follow God. But see, you should bring forth fruit in your own life. You still grouchy. You still lying. You still a glutton. You still wicked, envier, a talebearer. All those things are works of the flesh. Those things supposed to be put to death. You're supposed to be displaying gentleness, kindness, peace, and all these other things. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Those are things that the Spirit engender in your life. If you're walking in the Spirit, that's what those things bring forth in your life. One of the Gia's exposition says about this, there were certain fruit trees that gave forth fruit throughout the year in Israel. So it's by the Bible saying it was not the season or time of figs. The people hadn't harvested figs, so it should have had figs on the tree. You know what I'm saying? Remember it says we're to do good works? And it tells us one reason that we should be working is so that we can give to other people that don't have. Have you ever seen anybody that's always broke, don't never have nothing to give anybody? They don't have anything for themselves or the church or nobody. Jesus said, no, we got to get rid of this tree. It's cumbering the ground. It's in the way. He cursed the tree because it was in the way. It should have been bringing forth fruit. We hear at another time where some people said that, look, leave it alone for another year or two, and we're going to put fertilizer, and we're going to dig, and we're going to try to feed it the word of God. But some people you're wasting your time on, they'll never get there. They'll never get there. They'll never get there. He says, branches are cut off and thrown in the fire because something's wrong with that tree. When John the Baptist was talking, he says, cut that tree down, he says. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Why cometh the ground? We're here for a purpose, and that's why it tells us not to grow weary of well-doing. We're supposed to be bringing forth fruit in our life. That's why he gives you the Spirit. That's why I say if you don't have the Spirit, you can't bring this forth. So God hadn't birthed you. But if he's given you the Spirit, he hadn't given you the Spirit for nothing to go hide your talent in the ground or whatever. He's given you that to exercise it and use to bring forth fruit. That's why he don't give some people a whole lot of talent, because they're not going to use the one that you give them. That's why he says, take that talent from him that have it and give it to somebody else that will use it. We need to be careful, because sometimes we let other people talk us out of what we're supposed to be doing in the Lord. And these are devils, but you think they're friends, and they're just trying to. The birds of the air, says, the seed that was sowing among some, the birds of the air. In other words, people with an evil influence or evil association will talk you out of serving God. They don't serve God, and they don't want you to serve God. That's why it's dangerous to go back criticizing the people in your church or different people talking about God with other people. You see, and most Christians die from friendly fire. It's other Christians talking about other Christians, normally going back talking about the preaching, the people in the church that's having a hard time. Of course we have a hard time. Who in the church is not having a hard time? But that's part of the deal. That, nothing in the Bible says that you're not going to have a hard time when you come to Christ. Can I tell you, it probably will get harder when you come to God. The devil's going to work on you harder when you come to God. It's a bigger fight, a harder fight. Now there's judgment. He's going to judge the tree, and there are consequences for not doing with what God had given you. It says those that know to do good don't do it, they'll be whipped with many more stripes. If you know what the word of God says, then it's our responsibility to tell you what God's word say. But if you don't do it, you're going to be whipped with many more stripes. He says the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree that don't bring it forth fruit shall be hewn down. When he was talking about roots earlier, now you can't, if you, I don't know how he kind of confused it there with going up under the root. See, but once you go up under the root and get that root out, it ain't coming back. Those hibiscus came back because they were frozen from the top, but the root was still good. But when somebody cuts you down at the root, you're not coming back. My dentist, this week, he did a root canal. And he put some kind of medical pack down in my thing. He said, but the nerve down there is still alive. If it's give you any problem or whatever, come back. And I'll take that pack out of there. I'll take that packing out of there. And I'll take the nerve out. See, once you go to taking nerve endings out, you don't have a conscience. Some people are past feelings. See, and that's what we have to do. Our feelings for this world has to go away. We have to crucify. Those have to go away. We have to be able to get up and walk away from something. We have to die to the world. You can't be, he says, to be friends with the world is to be enemies of God. We are not light. We once was darkness. Darkness indicates that the people used to be spiritually enlightened, but now they are unenlightened. And the accompanying ignorance with immorality and with its guilt and misery. And that's how I see this nation is. It's miserable because it's walking in darkness. It once had some light. But that whole, by listening to the wrong people, they've become dull of hearing. There are plenty in the nation that's walking in the light now. Ephesians 5:8 says, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live as those who are native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the result of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord and letting your lifestyle be examples of what is most acceptable to him. Your behavior expressing gratitude to God for salvation. Do not participate in the worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. For it is disgraceful even to mention the things that such people practice in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light of God's precepts. For it is light that makes everything visible. That's why when people in the church or people anywhere, when something's going on, you try to be the peacemaker. You take up for that person or someone else and try to, and don't speak evil of other people. Don't live. In other words, I'm telling you about repentance. Don't live the way you used to. That's the best way to think about it. You used to do these things now, but I got to fight myself not to do these things. And as I do it, the Spirit, if I'm walking in the light, His Word is light and a lamp to my feet, and Christ is the Word. So if I'm meditating on His Word, if I'm studying His Word and praying in the Word, it's going to tell you what to do. Amen. That should come into your mind where you turn not to the right or the left. But you will have to step out on it. Like I said, a lot of people say, I should have did that or something, told me. But you're so big a coward to step out on something. You should have listened at something. You were scared of what you was going to lose. All these years, Abigail had put up with Naboth. But when she stepped out on faith and went and fed God's people, God, King David, when she did the right thing, didn't he come in there and kill her husband and she got a good husband out the deal? Yeah. When you feed your enemies, it says feed your enemies. That's like heaping coals of fire. When you do the opposite of what you used to do, how many times we lose things in life, it'll give you something better. All things work together for good. Job probably got a new wife at that deal. But you know, as children, he says perhaps they've sinned. And how many of us know how bad our children are? Now you tell them and you keep telling them and everything, but it's up to God to punish them now. God chastening them. God may have to take them out or whatever. That's why you see a lot of parents and people standing strong in the face of death, because we know God's sovereign and He did what He had to do. It wasn't nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do about it. We did all we can do. It's like the doctor. You think you go around crying about patients? They see patients die day in and day out. But he been done all he can do. The doctor will walk away from him and say, you got terminal cancer. There's nothing he could do. He's not going to go home and lose sleep over that. In the sense of saying lose sleep. In other words, it's not going to bring him down because he's done all he can do. Now, the light denotes how religiously informed we are. 1 Thessalonians says, but you believers, all you who believe in Christ as the Savior, acknowledge Him as God's Son, are not in spiritual darkness, nor held by its power. We're enjoying liberty because we're walking in the light, that the day of judgment would overtake you by surprise like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We do not belong to the night nor to darkness. So then let us not sleep in spiritual indifference as the world does, but let us keep wide alert and cautious, and let us be sober. In other words, self-control, calm, and wise. And all three of those come from the Lord, from working at it hard, from walking in God. That's the only way we can gain self-control. That's the only way we can be calm and peaceful in a calamitous situation. And wisdom comes from God. Let him lack wisdom, ask of God. He freely give it to those. For those who sleep at night, and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we are believers, we belong to the day. Let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope and confident assurance of salvation. For God has not destined us to incur wrath, but that he did not select us to be condemned, but to obtain salvation from Jesus Christ. Remember I told you about your manner of conduct, is your way of life, where is your conversation, is your talk in life, and what you're doing? Saint sounds like synonymous terms, but it encompasses a vast array of themes. Colossians 4:2-6. Here's where you get encouragement through prayers, because, like I say, we're going to go through prayer also. But it says, cease not to pray. Praying always with prayer and supplication. Colossians 4, 2 through 6 says, be persistent and devoted to prayer. Being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. And at the same time, now, you know, that's what's lacking in this nation, in this world. Thanksgiving. Being thankful in all things. Pray for us, too, that God will open a door of opportunity to us for the word, to proclaim the mystery of Christ. Now, he says mystery of Christ. You remember, as you proclaim the word of God, people have to seek out that mystery because Christ reveals it to them. Christ has to reveal. I can tell you things, but it's up to Christ to show it to you, to give you understanding of it. So you have to be seeking. It's a condition that God places you in. But you've done all you can do when you're living it and actually tell it to someone out of truth and love. That's why we have to be clean vessels, and we have to abstain from appearances of evil. For which I've been in prison, that I might make it clear and speak boldly and unfold the mystery in the way I should. Conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, in other words, non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one. Living peaceably is not just cornering people. And that's why I say the rhetoric in this nation is bad. We confrontational. We confrontational in the church. We confrontational everywhere you go. We want to show somebody we're right, and we want to shut them down then, and for everybody to see us shut them down, instead of taking them to the side and speak to them. Even though you got your brother in the wrong, you shouldn't tell him in front. That's why it says, if you have a fault or something with your brother, take him aside. Do we have a good talk, Monday? But we don't say anything to other people. See, if somebody come into your family and see you fighting with your family, you think they're going to join that family and marry into that family? If somebody come into the church and see us fighting, and Paul said bite and devour one another, if somebody see us talking to one another this way, see us treating each other this way, they're not going to want to join our family. Because if you bite and devour one another, what you going to do to a stranger? If I talk against my brothers and sisters, what are you going to do to somebody outside? If I hear somebody talking about their relatives and things, and the way they're talking about them or whatever, I have to be careful because I'm not, you know, blood is thicker than water. I don't even know you that well. And if you're talking about your brother this way or your sister this way or your parents this way, think about what you say about me. Live as peaceable as possible with all men. Proverbs 5, 1 through 4 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but for perverseness is in the breach of a spirit. The other week, they had the future speaker of the house trying to talk to the president, the leader of the nation. Had some cameras and things in the room. Instead of being presidential and talk and speaking, she asked him as a mature person, let's talk about this away from the cameras and not in front of a lot of people. When he wanted to shout and overtalk or whatever, you know how male ego is, he wanted to overtalk and say this and seem boasterous. That's why we have to be careful of our words. A soft answer turn it away right. If I'm always approaching you, hollering and shouting you down and talking about you, that's why everybody in the nation talks about him and glad to see something happen. Because you're sowing, you're reaping what you've sown. If I holler at you, Pastor, why are people hollering and doing me this? Well, do you ever holler at people? Do you ever try to shoot somebody down in front of other people? Because God's going to make people, have people come shoot you down and talk about you and misuse you and sowing and reaping. Treat others if you would have others treat you. Talk to that woman as a woman. Let's speak kindly to one another. Don't go out and try to belittle someone and oh, no, you're wrong about this, and try to see everybody and shut you down. That's not godly. That's not a way to do that. That's why he was constantly shooting the Pharisees down, because they was always belittling everybody. I'm not like this publican here. I tithe twice a week. I do all this. He wasn't interested in that. You just not spoke evil of this man, though. We have to be careful of how we walk. We're coming close to a close. Within my last point, within that point there, how is this going to happen? It's going to be the zeal of the Lord that performed this. In other words, not by might, not by power. It's by his spirit. It's by his spirit. God's spirit's going to perform this, and that's why we have to have his spirit in us to bridle our tongue. We have to have his spirit in us to lead us and guide us in all truth. So his commandments couldn't be grievous to us if we want to have those things that he said we can have in his word. I told you the other week I spent all my money. You remember I told you I tried to save toward the end of the year, and I was saving up this year to get a dishwasher or whatever. My truck started acting up, and then something happened here at the church, and I told you we needed to get the faucets fixed or something else or whatever. But things came all discombobulated, and I said, well, you remember I told you I was going to have to wait next year to get my dishwasher, and I was going to have to do a lot of things? So I went on and spent the money. I said, well, the Lord give it or whatever. Let's take care of this first. Put God first. You remember I said we have to put it first or whatever? Got home, and me and my daughter and wife are sitting there. Whenever I open a letter or something, it's from a lawyer. I said, what is this for? I open up the letter. Bless God. I say, we're looking for you. I say, you're looking for me? Yeah, we've been trying to contact you. We got some money for you. I said, I don't think you've been looking for me and got money for me, because you done found me. And she said, well, look, you come down here tomorrow, we can mail it to you. I want to get my hands on the money. I said, I'll come down there tomorrow. It might get lost in the mail or something, you know. I'm expecting, you know, a few dollars there, you know, gas money at least or something, you know, some kind of money. Got it on there, and I said, bless God, there's a check, $1,500. $1,500. Say the doctor overcharged. How many times the Lord you call you and tell you a doctor overcharged you? A doctor said, look, I said, it's got to be God. This don't happen, you know. I wasn't expecting. This is the zeal of the Lord. This is his spirit working. Amen. Can I tell you, I got that dishwasher.
Praise.
Can I tell you, I went there and the dentist fixing my teeth, fixed my tooth or whatever. I got that root canal. Can I tell you that the guy fixed my carburetor and my truck, my stuff on my truck the other day? But I was broken. I was saying, well, okay, I would just sell it for this, because, you know, this is needed. The house. Can I tell you that I got the plumber to fix both of the faucets on the tree? That's all those things you found in the dough the other day. Can I tell you that reduced the water? Can I tell you there's more? But I couldn't wait to get in here and put my money in the offering plate. You saw me throw that debit card, that card, that charge card in there. I don't have the cash on me, but look, put it in here because it's there. I can't wait to give God this, because how's it going to turn out this year? I might not eat no cabbage and peas, but I'm going to give God what his due is. See, now you can... You know, money goes so fast because it's gone. It just took wings and flew away. But God is good. All the time. So no matter what happens, it looks like you're down and out. But if you have faith and trust in God, let us go up to the house of the Lord and worship. I can't serve God enough. So we'll get together after this and see, can we set it up for Bible study tomorrow? Because we did that the other week. You remember I said, well, let's go on and do it. And we did it last Sunday. Yeah. And what happened? It rained. It turned cold. Everything this Wednesday. We couldn't have it. Yeah. Looks like it might do the same thing this Wednesday. But see, you want to stay in God's word. You want to stay in his house. You want to walk in the light of the Lord. Walk as God say, well, it's up to him to provide it. Now, I'm not saying this helps all the time to everybody. Because God is in charge. And he knows what he's trying to do with it. But we must walk in the light as he's in the light. saints shall judge the world, and we have to not allow people to see us with bad testimonies. I hope y'all enjoyed that testimony. We have to not walk in the darkness or the ways of the things in this world. We have to do that which is pleasing unto God. We have to be a beacon for others, that others would see us walking in the Lord. But we also have to tell us others of when we're having bad times or struggles or whatever, or what we're doing, because it ain't always peaches and creams. I tell my children, we hadn't been married almost 40 years, and it's been happiness and joy. You will have problems. You will have problems within your family, but you don't get mad and walk out. You will have problems in your church, but you don't get mad and go to war with one another. You will have problems, and much as I talk about this nation, the only reason a person talk about something is they love it or something's wrong. I love this nation. You couldn't get a nation like this nation in the world. We are in a wonderful government. My medicine is taken care of, all these. Now, it's the people. You see what I'm saying? It's the people that are corrupt. So the things of this nation that God has it based in are continue. That's why we have all the good people that's fighting for the ways and the things that's here, because it's a right idea. See, but the God of this world, whom Satan, he influences the individual, it's wicked in individuals that causes this. So I wasn't upset. I tried to get my children. I tried to get away the other day to get to my truck yesterday. Wouldn't nobody come take me to my truck or whatever. I couldn't get to my truck. Let me call somebody in the church to come get me away. I'm trying to get around here. But bless God, he got all this technology or whatever. Call Uber. The Uber was cheap when somebody come and get me, taking me there. Now the Uber took me to O'Reilly. It took me to the other places. And then took me back to my truck and then brought me back home. And it was cheaper. Verse 22 says, cease from men. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostril. Don't count on people. You count on your children. You count on your relative. You count on somebody. You count on man. That's when man gonna let you down. Count on the Lord. You trust and have your confidence in God and cease from man. Go up to the mountain of the Lord and walk in the light there. And he's gonna strengthen you in his lion. They have right now, you can get taken back and forth. They have ride services. And the thing about it, amongst a lot of us, they paying them so much or whatever. But you know, when you on certain programs or whatever, they have people that will come take you to the doctor. They'll take you home and do all this thing. But if it was God that ran, if it was ran by Christian and God-fearing people, you know, it would run on time. It would pick people up on time. It would do like they're supposed to do. But they're getting money and not doing what they're supposed to do. My sister-in-law the other day, they took her and she missed the appointment or whatever. How'd she miss the appointment?
The band didn't come and they didn't call her.
Didn't come or call her. See, but you have corrupt people. They give the contract to corrupt people and not doing what they're supposed to do. See, that's why it says cease from men. So it's not the system. Those are good systems. It's nothing wrong with giving. I was looking and reading on Kwanzaa. That's a good holiday, they said. But they said, don't tie it to the Lord like this. Out of your goodness, they said that's an African-American celebration where for a whole week, starting on the 26th or whatever, they celebrate love and peace and joy, and they give one another gifts. But don't lie and try to hide Jesus in there and say it's Jesus' birthday. How many, did you bring anything to the church to get Jesus for his birthday? What do Jesus get out to do? See, that's the biggest crooks that put Christian on something. We're a Christian company. We Christian or whatever. Thinking people should back up and dump money into them because just they say they're Christian. Just because a preacher say he a preacher. There's a preacher in North Carolina gave his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini. His members loving that. But it's one of the highest poverty areas in the world. But see, people like that because they like the mentality of 50 Cent. Get rich or die trying. That's why lotteries and things succeed like that, because it's not in God. It's in the greed and the lust of the flesh. It's in covetousness and want, self-pleasure. So don't walk as the world do. Don't walk as the people and the things of the world. You have to walk in the light and ask him for his light to shine upon us. This is what's going to prevail in the world. It won't be nuclear warfare that destroys the world. It could be just like God said it is. He's going to destroy the world. The world's already condemned. It was condemned from Jump Street. But he had chosen us out of the world. In his kingdom, new heaven and new earth, we through faith help establish the laws of God. We will walk in them and we will continue to walk in them. We will be lights while he's going away. Heavenly Father, as we come unto you, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and your way, Lord God, to do those things that are pleasing unto you, Lord God.